Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, and we're going to start at verse 24. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathering together. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing, Lord. Father God, thank you that we are receptive to your word, that Father God, I will be obedient, Lord God. And thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in this service. We love you and praise you, and we worship you, Lord. And thank you for healing the broken hearts this morning. Thank you for healing the broken bodies, Lord, and the crushed spirits, Lord. Thank you for your healing virtue, your healing power going forth, Lord. Thank you for drawing us all closer into a deeper, more intimate walk with you, Lord. Thank you for healing relationships. Your will be done in this service, Father God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, give the Lord some praise. Glory. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb that was slain. You are a blessed person this morning. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation or circumstances looks like, you are blessed. Okay, I know that's not what some of us really feel like right now. Okay, I can imagine that's hard for some of us to understand. Okay, but let's grab a hold of that this morning. Okay, let's grab a hold of that this afternoon. Okay, and understand that we serve a risen Savior who is a present help in time of trouble. And if you call on his name, he is right there with you. He's your ever-present help in your time of trouble. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Some of those... Okay, so real fast, guys, real fast. What we have here is two brokenhearted disciples of Jesus Christ. All their hopes were just crushed a few days ago. They're leaving town. They're getting out of town, man. Nothing's making sense. The tomb where their teacher, where their rabbi was taken is now empty, but no one's seen a body. All their hopes were hung on this guy. They thought for sure a week earlier, as he came into Jerusalem, that there was going to be this massive revolution and they were going to be part of an inner group of leaders, of rulers, man, as Jesus, their king, kicks out the Romans. And as we all know, that's not what happened at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ said, that's not what's going to happen. That's not what I'm coming to Jerusalem to do, okay? Now, their hearts are broken, their hearts are crushed, and they feel abandoned. I'm sure they feel abandoned. I feel they let down. I'm sure they feel like some way, somehow, you know, Jesus let them down, man. Does that make sense this morning? Have you ever felt like that? Why don't you be honest with yourself? You know, we're in church, and sometimes we can feel like that, you know. Man, I serve you. I've tried to do the right thing, man. I've prayed. I've given these things to you. And now this happens? You ever felt like that? Well, I have. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Sometimes it can seem like God is so far away from us, you know. But that's not the case at all. Now, sometimes, I'll give you this much, sometimes we run the other direction. because we get bitter, or we want to have a little tantrum, or we get frustrated, or just plain out, just sad, man, you know? And so we run the other direction for a while. But see, God promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. So we got to make sure, because the Father wants to run to us. He wants to be there for us during these hard times. Matter of fact, you know, these two disciples, man, they're walking right now in our story. They're walking with the risen Savior. They just can't see it because of the pain is just too much. The things that have happened in their life, man, they can't figure it out. It's not making any sense, man. But Jesus Christ is making himself available to them. And he's doing the same for us this morning, guys. Okay, I'm not saying that we're all beaten and discouraged, but I'm saying, man, either you need this message or you're going to need this message. And hopefully everybody already knows this, man, but it don't hurt to go over it again. Can I get a witness? You're not alone. Give them some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it's right there. Just look at that little section of that verse. This is something that the Lord is saying to you. If your heart is burdened, if you feel alone, if you just feel discouraged, man, because the weight of the world is so much right now, things aren't making sense. Listen, Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you. People come in and out of our lives, man. You know, I don't like it, but it happens. You know, today's my father's birthday. And he passed away almost 10 years ago. He had no choice in the matter. He would have been here if he could have been here, but the Lord called him home. You know, God does things that we don't always understand. God does things that we certainly would not approve of, you know, but he knows what he's doing. Amen. So we need to put our trust in him. Does that make sense this morning? Okay, but God never says, hey, this world, this journey, he never says this is going to be a cakewalk. He says the exact opposite, but he makes some awesome promises to us. He says, hey, if you're my kid, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll always be right there. You can always lean on me. Okay, so Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that pretty? Doesn't that mean something to you this morning? I will never leave you or forsake you. Look at Psalm 100 and verse 5. These guys feel, man, they are beyond discouraged right now. They're getting out of town, man. They just couldn't do the Jerusalem thing. Maybe they're freaking out about their own lives, man. You know, this was a very scary time for these disciples, man. Psalm 100 and verse 5. This is for us right here. For the Lord is good. Can you say that in your heart and mean it? Can you say that and mean it? Because that's the place where we really got to get to, man, where we understand. I don't understand, you know, all the things in my little world. I don't understand why people have treated me this way or whatever. But I know this. I know this. My God is good, okay? My God is good. And for whatever reason, he allowed whatever to happen in my world. He allowed my world to be turned upside down. But I know this. I can understand this. My God is good. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That is beautiful. His steadfast love ain't going nowhere, man. That's what steadfast is. You know, my world might be going through some crazy things, but God says, I haven't stopped loving you. I'm right here with you. I'm right here. I am faithful to you. In a world when it's hard to find faithfulness, God says, don't get me mixed up with all that nonsense. Okay? For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Isn't that awesome? Just like he was faithful to Daniel in the lion's den, just like he was faithful to David going up against that giant, you know, just like he was faithful to your mama and your papa, just like he's going to be faithful to your little ones, you know, God says, I'm not giving up on you. I'm not going to abandon you. So even when you feel like all hope is lost, when you feel like, well, I don't know what to do. I just know I got to get out of town, man. I'm leaving Jerusalem. It was fun while it lasted, man, but me and Cleopas or whatever the cat's name is, we're out of town, bro. Check you later. Check you later, Cleopas. You ready, dog? think that was the cat's name. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Is everybody doing all right? I forgot to turn my page. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones. You know, people throughout every once in a while, like, hey, you need to get up with the modern times, man. You need like a little laptop or a tablet or something. Hey, you know what, man? I'm just kind of old-fashioned this way. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones. Now, check it out, guys. These guys are on this journey. Remember, Jesus runs up to be with them. He catches up. He speeds up to get up there with his disciples. And they don't know it's Jesus. Jesus has disguised himself some way. We don't know how or what he did, you know, but we're talking about the risen Savior. We're talking about the Son of God. So whatever, man, he did not want his true self to be revealed to them at this time, but let it be known, man, he hasn't abandoned them. He's right there with them. Can I get a witness? Now, this is what he says. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So Jesus, this guy that's hanging out with them, all of a sudden, you know, gives them a pretty stern rebuke, man, you know. But hey, you know what, guys? Sometimes we need that, you know. Sometimes we got to give that to ourselves, you know, because we won't listen to where Jesus is trying to plead with us or the Holy Spirit is trying to plead with us. And he's saying, you know what? Yes, there's a time to mourn. That's certainly true. You know? but you know, he also says, hey, you got to get on with it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Sometimes, man, we get in this weird situation because of whatever it is, man, whatever that deep hurt that might have been in your life, you know, like what Sister Courtney was talking about, but that's not exclusive to her. But, you know, a lot of us have been through some deep, deep things, man, that really have affected us, you know, and God doesn't want us to live burdened by that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I love that testimony that she gave this morning. That's very encouraging to me, and it should be encouraging to all of us that we don't have to live in that place. You know, and some, like the prodigal son, we got to come to our senses sometime and, you know, wipe the mud off and say, you know what, I'm going back to the Father. I'm running back to him, man, you know. And so Jesus is giving these guys a pretty stern rebuke, you know. Hey, man, what about what the scriptures say, you know? Don't be picking and choosing the Bible verses you want to hang on to. That's going to put you in a bad situation, man. Okay, we got to take the whole letter. We got to take the whole word. Can I get a witness? You see, Jesus is giving the truth, and he's being stern with the truth, but he's giving it in love, you know, and we need to be there for other people. And anytime you feel the need to encourage somebody, we need to encourage them by what the Word of God says. You know what I mean? When I do, I'm not bragging about myself, but when I do any kind of counseling, man, it's with an open Bible, you know, because without that, man, it's worthless. It's useless, you know. But see, the Word of God is alive and active, man. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, man. It'll show you what we need to do. And see, Jesus is saying, hey, what about what the prophet said, man? What about all that? See, you guys are just thinking, and I understand why, you know. It was exciting to think about the king, you know, and the victory and all that stuff. Man, that's exciting stuff, man. But we can't pick and choose scripture. You know what I mean? We can't jump around and say, well, I like this. This is a hard word, and I don't want to be obedient to that word, so I don't want to do that. And I'll be honest with you, when I begin to be a little... When I get to a place where I'm wanting to be rebellious, it's not that I'm going to stop reading the Word of God, but I'm going to be a lot more careful. And that's just how I am, you know. I'm going to be a lot more attentive to the parts of the Scripture that I read. You know, I don't want Jesus to be pointing out to me, hey, man, you're about to jump off a cliff, dude. Hey, man. But see, that's what we got to do. We got to go to the Word of God, take every bit of the Word of God, and be obedient to the Word of God, okay? Because Jesus will say, hey, I'm just trying to save you a lot of heartache, dude, all right? You need to listen, all right? I love you. Okay, can I get a witness? That's a message for all of us, man. We all need to do that, you know. You know, we can all get rebellious in our own little ways, man, you know. But let the Word of God lead you and guide you. Amen. Okay, don't pick and choose. Okay, moving forward. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? See, they just wanted the glory. And I get that, man. That's what I want in my life, man. I don't want to go through the hard times. I don't want to go through all the training and the valleys because God makes his man in the furnace of affliction. You know, that's how God purifies his people. That's his method, man. And that's what you signed up for, you know. And you were going to have hard times without Jesus, but it wasn't going to produce that fruit. You know, but see, we want to get to that place of glory. We want to get to that place of that easy selling or whatever, man. Well, man, look at all the Old Testament prophets. Look at the heroes in the New Testament. Look at Jesus Christ, okay, because that's our template, Jesus Christ. And you remember Paul said, hey, church folk, follow me because I'm going to be following Jesus. And see, Jesus said, hey, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. This road ain't the easy road, man, but this is the road that leads to eternal life. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Give him some praise while I enjoy this water. Yeah. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? We can't pick and choose that scripture, man. That's an important thing, you know, because there is that temptation. You know, I want to read the exciting stuff, man. I want to read that the Lord is my strong tower. I want to read that. I want to read that the Lord is my fortress. And that's good, but why in the world do you need a strong tower? Why in the world do you need a fortress, man? Because there's a devil prowling around like a roaring lion trying to see who he can mess up. Can I get a witness? So we got to be prayed up, and we got to stay in the scripture. And I know I talk an awful lot about, in my sermons, getting into the scripture. But what do you want me to do, bake a cake for you or something? That's what we're here for. Which I could bake a cake, but never mind. That's what we're here for, man. You know, the little bit of word we share together, that's just to get us excited, man. We got to stay in that word. I'm sorry. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? We cannot expect that life is just going to be smooth sailing, man. Acts 14 and verse 22, check that out. Should be on the bulletin or should be right there. It is right there. Acts 14 and verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, let's focus on this part for right now, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. You're going to have hard times on this rock. You're going to have hard times on this journey. Amen. God doesn't hide that fact from you. Now, let's go to the next slide. But what he does promise is, hey, I'll be there. I'll be there with you, even when it looks hopeless, even when nothing makes sense, man, even when you don't know how your life could ever get back on a semi-normal track. And sometimes you're like, man, I would just take like semi-normal, man, you know, just a little bit of something like just, you know, before this happened. And you can't imagine it, man. Well, listen, man, God is faithful. God is faithful. And God is still a miracle-working God. And God does the impossible every single day. Luke 24 and verse 27. And begin. So Jesus is like, hey, man, what about the Old Testament prophecies? What about the Word of God? What about all these things that were prophesied about the Messiah? Now, Jesus himself said an awful lot about his death, burial, about his crucifixion and his resurrection. But remember, Jesus has not revealed himself to these people as the risen Savior yet. So Jesus is telling them, go back to Scripture. Listen, when it looks hopeful, lean on the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. See what it says. Okay? Makes sense? That's what Jesus is telling these guys. Hey, your heart's broken, right? I get it. I understand it, man. Sounds like he was a really good guy, you know? And, you know, it sounds like everything is falling apart around you. But look at what the Scripture says. Look at what the Word of God says. Let that encourage you. That's what he's telling these cats. And beginning with Moses. So beginning with the first five books, man, going all the way back to Genesis, man, going all the way back to Genesis 3, man. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets. And all the prophets, So this guy, whoever he is, has a thorough understanding of Scripture, and he's going through the major prophets, the minor prophets, all the little prophets, everything in all the Word of God, saying, well, what about this? What about this? Wasn't this supposed to happen? What about this? Why didn't you think about that? The Word of God. Amen. Can I get a witness? Like, you know, did you think about Psalm 22, which is amazing? Have you guys read that lately? Make yourself a little note. Read Psalm 22. Oh, my goodness gracious. Do it. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Look, I would like to think that Jesus spoke these exact verses, but I know he went through all the prophets, so I know he had to mention Isaiah. But I can't imagine he would skip this. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. You can imagine him talking to these guys as they're walking down the road. The sun's getting close to setting. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Huh. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Now, this is so important because this is stating not only did the Messiah have to suffer, but what he was suffering for. What he had to go through was because of my sin, so I could be saved. Remember, I owed a price. He paid the price. Ain't that nice? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. How about them apples? Talking to these, you know, brokenhearted disciples. You know, this Jesus guy, this Messiah here, he paid for you to have peace of mind right now. And your hearts are so not restful right now. You're a big mess. Trust in God because he paid for you to have peace, Cleopas. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. See, guys, the Messiah, he had to go through this. Isaiah 53 and verse 11. After he has suffered, this is really, really cool, man. He had to go through this, but that was not the end. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life. Oh, he's got to go through this, and he's going to go through this because he's looking at the other side of the cross for the joy that's waiting on the other side of the cross, for that victory, for salvation, for every single one of us, man. It was love that kept him on the cross. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? And you can imagine these guys, you know, just being beyond just discouraged. You know, they were talking about what happened, and here comes Jesus, and over a short period of time as he gives them that rebuke, and they're like, whoa, dude, whoa. But then he starts to go through all the Scripture, man, and a little bit of excitement starts to well up in them. You know, isn't it wonderful when you have a godly friend, not a perfect friend, but I'm talking about a Christian guy, a Christian friend that is there to encourage you during those hard times, you know? And sometimes we can't get a hold of them. Sometimes they're not around. But isn't that wonderful when there's somebody that's like, look, man, look. I know it's going on like this. I know this is what it looks like. But listen, this is what Jesus says. That's what we got to stand on. You know, and sometimes those people ain't around. Sometimes we don't know folks like that. Well, we need to be that person for somebody, right? Okay. But if you ain't got that person, and I pray you do, okay, and you can always reach out to somebody. But see, here's the deal, man. If you ain't got nobody, you got this. You got the Word of God, because that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, hey, guys, hey, Cleopas, remember Psalm 22. Remember Isaiah 53, you know? You forgot about that part. And then maybe they start to think a little bit, hey, well, Jesus did say that he was going to be, that this was going to happen. Huh, okay, all right. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. He's pointing them to the Word of God. So we got to encourage one another. Okay. You got to do it through the Word of God. You got to. That's where the life is, man. You know? And let me just throw this out there. Be careful who you go seek out when you're going through a hard time. Because that worldly advice is going to get you into a deeper hole, man. You know, we really need to run to somebody that has an understanding of Scripture that can at least point you to the Scripture. You know, because that's what it's all about, man. Can I get a witness? Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word, not Joe Buck's word down at the bakery. Your word. Yeah. Y'all know Joe Buck, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I love it. Look at your neighbor and say, I love it. I love it. Say, John, love it. I love it, man. God's word guides you, man. Now, check it out. Okay, like, your word is a lamp for my feet. I'm on this journey. It's dark. I don't want to be in a dark place, but I'm dark. And I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. I've got to go through this. Give me a few more minutes every time. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death, man. But his word is a lamp. What's that lamp going to do, man? It's going to guide my way. And sometimes I can only see a few feet in front of me, you know, because God says I'm going to get you all the way through it. But I need you to take it one day at a time, dude. One day at a time. Just get through to the next day sometimes, man. I will guide you through each little step. Your word is a lamp. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. See, Jesus is like super cool. Because, I mean, that's just super cool. I mean, they're like, okay, well, this is our exit. Where are you going, man? It's getting dark. You know, they, you ever been around that dude, that person is like, man, there's just, you got the words of life. You got something going on, man, that I need, man. But see, Jesus is really, really cool. And the point is very clear right there for all of us to see. It's just like when Jesus was walking past the disciples on the water, you know. Do you want me? Do you need me? Do you want the words of life? Or do you want to try and handle it on your own? You know, because I'm here and I'm letting you know I'm here. But see, it's like this, man. He's not going to force his peace on you. Okay, just like he doesn't force his salvation on you, okay? But he wants you to choose peace. He wants you to choose him, you know what I mean? And sometimes we'll go and, you know, we'll go to church, we'll get the victory, or we'll talk to some Christian dude, and we'll get the victory, and then an hour later, we're like right back into it. Man, it's horrible. I'm about to burn this joint down. You know, what? I'm tired of it. Get out of here. Whatever, you know? Well, see, God says, don't just take me in little increments, man. You know, take me with you wherever you go. Well, how do you do that, man? Dude, sometimes you got to pray minute by minute. So, and that's okay, well, that's tough. That's hard, man. I'm a professional. I would work hard. Dude. Man, look, dude, if you want that peace, because whatever you're doing, Satan's going to be throwing his little darts at you. And you got to raise up that shield of faith, man. And you got to fire back with the word of God, man. You know, and it's a battle, but that's what we're in for. We're in a battle till we get to the other side of Jordan. Okay, but the battle's already been won. The war's already been won. Thank you, Jesus. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. I want to read Revelation 3 and verse 20. Certainly this verse, certainly, absolutely, without a doubt, this verse is talking about your salvation. But it works this way too. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus Christ. Look, man, I know you're my kid and I know you're going through a hard time and I know you're just burdened so much. Let me in. Let me in, man. Let me help you through this. You know what I mean? Life gets hard. Life gets difficult. It is super unfair. You know, but God is a God of justice, man, and God knows what he's doing. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus says, man, don't do it alone. Don't go it alone, man. Okay? You're just going to get in a deeper mess, man. Do you want to live in the muck and the mire, man, of despair? He doesn't want us to be like that. But they urged him strongly. These guys got it. They're like, man, I can't see myself sleeping at all, knowing this guy is walking down the road, man. I want to spend some more time with this dude. He's actually, for the first time in days, man, actually feel a little bit of hope, you know, a little bit of hope. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went to stay with them. All we got to do is ask. Let's go to the next slide, Clyde. I believe it's the last one. Luke 24 and verse 30. When he was at the table, so he follows them into town. They go to this place, and it's time to eat. And this is really, really cool. Because remember, Jesus has not revealed himself to these guys. He's just showed them what the scripture says. He's like, you guys are kind of being foolish. You know, you're picking and choosing your little verses, and that's why your world just crumbled. You know, and this was a huge thing. But God said, hey, Jesus said, hey, I come that you have life. I want you to have peace. Lean on the word of God. We got to lean on the word of God. Okay, moving forward. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So maybe it was the way he broke that bread, because that's what they would do. You know, they'd have like a loaf, or they have one of them pieces of bread, man, and they'd break it and they'd dip it in the different things. You know, bread was like the main thing. You know, bread was a really, really big deal. They dip it in other stuff, man. And if they were lucky, they had some fish or some lamb or something like that. But and you know what else? Never mind. Doesn't matter. We don't have time. But maybe when he broke the bread, maybe it was then when they're like, hey, that's how Jesus broke the bread. And, you know, maybe it was something like that. Or maybe it was how he prayed. But whatever, at that moment, he revealed himself to them as the Son of God. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. You know, sometimes this is actually the cool part of the trial. You know, the end of the trial. You know, some trials are longer than other, right? And you know, we could get through any stinking trial, no matter how hard or heavy it was, if we knew, well, I just got to get to August 31st. I just got to get through. I know everything's going to be better at that date. Well, God doesn't say that, man. You know, he doesn't do that. He says, you got to hang on with me. Okay, I'll get you through it. I'll get you there. The water's getting high. I'm going to get you through it. Fire's getting close. It's not going to burn you, man. Just hang out with me. But the beautiful part of the trial is the end of the trial. The beautiful part is when you look back and you say, you know, man, I sure didn't like going through that. I mean, I don't like that. But I see your hand was all over all that stuff, man. I see where you were with me through all that. You know, I see where when everything was hopeless and my heart was so heavy, you were right there with me, holding me up. So I know, even if I'm not through my trial, I know that you're not going to let me go because you're faithful. I know you're not going to turn your back on me now. You done got me this far. No, I don't understand all of it. No, it doesn't even really make sense to me. But I do know this. Your word is true, and that you love me with an undying love. And so I'm on this journey, but you're with me. And you're going to give me the strength and the provision and the help that I need. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Romans 8 and 28. This is what we got to grab a hold of, church people. And we know, you know that's what you guys are, right? Church folk, church people. Everybody knows it. And we know that for those who love God, do you love them this morning? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Is that true? Is that true? How heartless is it for you to tell me that, Paul? You don't know what I'm going through. Man, I'm just saying it because I love you. I'm just saying it because I know God doesn't lie. I know sometimes we don't see it. We don't see it yet, but we will see it. And he said, something good, something amazing, something bigger than we can imagine, you know, is going to come out of this, out of this pain, out of this suffering. God says, hold on to me. I love you. You love me. We got this covenant relationship thing going. I'm not leaving you. There is a reason for this. That's a hard pill to swallow, man. You know, life's brutal. But God says, no. Trust in me. There's something great is going to come out of this. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us? Oh, hold on. I didn't finish this one here. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. God has allowed this, whatever it might be. Maybe you're dealing with our consequences from our actions. You know, but God is still faithful no matter what. And he still says, hey, we're going to get something really good out of this, man. This is where you're at. Now it's time to go to school, but it's going to be all right because we're going to get to the next level. Okay. Now, Jesus is gone. He breaks the bread and they're like, hey, Jesus, he's gone. They said to each other, you know, that's that sense of humor part of Jesus. You know, he's like, as soon as they realize it's me, dude, I'm out of here. I'm just, no questions. I'm not taking any questions. That's it. Go to the Word of God. I'll see you guys later. And he does. Now listen to what they said. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? It's like, man, remember the first time in days, man, I actually felt like I was not the walking dead, man. You know, the first time in days, I felt a little something, man, a little spark in my spirit again, you know, as he would open up the scriptures. So there it is again, man, you got to lead one another to the scriptures. We got to run to the scriptures. And you need to be in the scriptures now. We need to stay in the word. Amen. Psalm 119 verse 103. Talking about that word. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Let the word of God encourage you and lead you and guide you through the darkest of times, man. Because Jesus does say, God does say, when I walk through that dark valley, when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, I'm going to get through. I can't see myself getting through. Well, they don't call it dark valley of shadow of death for nothing, man. You know, I can't see myself. But he says, I'll be with you. And you're going to get through it. You're going to get through it. Everybody do this. It's a valley. All right. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 33. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. These guys were brokenhearted, man. And imagine they were probably pretty tired, you know. And they maybe they take a bite. Maybe they're like, hey, we'll just eat this on the road. Come on, Cleopas. You know, they're gone, dude. They're going back to Jerusalem. They got to share what has happened to them, okay. Now, looky here, man. That's what we got to do. You know, you can't hide it underneath the bushel. You got to do like what Sister Courtney did. You got to let it out, man. You got to encourage one another. You know, you got to do that tough thing, man. You know, because I mean, sometimes, you know, it's always messy. You know, it's a messy thing, man. You know, before Jesus or when we push Jesus aside or just sometimes, it's messy. And it's sometimes we don't want people to know about how messy it is. But it's okay, man. You know, when you say, hey, I was here, but now I'm here, and I wouldn't be here without God. And I'm still in the fight. I'm still in the fight, but God is faithful. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for blessing these folks, Lord. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Give us grace and peace and mercy, Lord. Father God, guide and lead us. Let us be about your business. Heal our hurts and guide us to where you want us to be. Let us always put you first. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.